Hi everyone, and welcome to our final module in the Yoga Teacher Survival course. Tonight's presentation is all about staying connected to what matters. Something I've found in my own teaching career is that the secret to success is actually having a great community, not only filled with great students, but other professionals that you can trust and depend on. I've always felt very lucky to have come to this point, but definitely in my early days of teaching, I did sort of feel like a nomad. Unfortunately, as with so many other businesses and industries, it can be really hard to break into a studio. It can be hard to break into a group of yoga teachers and really establish yourself as someone who is not only a fantastic teacher, but also trustworthy, helpful, and not just out for themselves. Sometimes teaching in a bigger city, you feel a little bit of that cold shoulder at first, and you really sort of need to prove yourself. So what I want to share with you today is how to actually find your dream team of support and teach you how to build community in your own life, in your own work, because this really is the foundation of a successful teaching career. You can't do this job alone in a room by yourself. So let's start to move into this now. The way I want to break things down today is first to talk about people who support your business and people who support your growth. Now, what we'll notice, no doubt, is that there's a lot of crossover here. The people who support your business do, in fact, support your growth, and the people who support your growth do, in fact, support your business. But looking at things this way will really help to compartmentalize and identify what you actually need. And I want to begin with just a short exercise. So if you have a piece of paper, write this down. You can also type it in your computer. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. And I want you to write down as many things about your teaching business that you don't enjoy doing. Again, it's things that you don't enjoy doing. So things that you tend to procrastinate, things you grumble while doing, things you may complain about. And I just want you to dump all of those things onto a piece of paper. And in fact, I also want you to write down in this big dump of all the things you're avoiding or procrastinating on, things about your yoga business that you actually don't feel good about doing or that you don't feel qualified to do. There's no right or wrong answer here, so just spend about 2 minutes writing down everything you can think of, and we'll come back. All right, so now that we have everything down on paper in front of us, just have a look at your list. So on my list, the main thing that I avoid is my bookkeeping. I really don't like to do my own bookkeeping. I don't really like to invoice for classes. I find that part of my business really boring. And on the side of things I don't feel qualified to do, you know, I'm not a great designer of any kind. If I had to make my own posters, I can't imagine what they would look like. My website, I can't do much with my website. I'm not particularly great at putting colors together and things like that. Now, all of this and all of what you've written down is actually tremendously valuable information. Knowing what your possible weaknesses are, knowing the things that you're not all that interested in about your business, lets us know who our dream team of business support really should be. So for me, because I know that I avoid and don't really find a lot of interest in doing my bookkeeping, I have someone do it for me. I pay someone to do my books for me every month, to take care of my taxes once a year, and it's made me very happy. So rather than me doing probably a mediocre job at this task, I have someone who knows how to do it, enjoys doing it, and I'm happy to pay them for it. It is definitely a good use of money. On the other side of that spectrum, things like web design. I have someone who helps me with that. I have someone that puts together things on my blog. I have someone who helps me with my posters and my photos and all of those types of things. And it's well worth the money, the energy, the exchange, however I work with those particular people. Being able to identify what you're avoiding and finding someone else to do it for you, to help you, is a really valuable thing. And, you know, the great thing about teaching yoga is even if you're not a yoga empire at this point, even if you're not making a ton of money to hire a full-time accountant or a full-time web designer, very often you will find people who will barter their services with you and do some kind of an exchange. You'll also find that in this lovely age that there are so many different services online with people just waiting to help you from all over the world. If you're not familiar with these types of services, you could look up different virtual assistants. There's different services. I will actually send you a list of a few different ones that I've heard of or that I've used successfully. So rather than paying a designer $1,000 to design you a logo, you could go online and find someone who's willing to do it for a few hundred dollars. There are students who are willing to do things like this. You can find great students in your local university, college. There are so many qualified people who can do your web design, your posters, your bookkeeping, whatever your particular poison is, a lot faster, with better quality, and probably much more efficiently than you can. The liberation that you will feel when you start offloading some of these less savory tasks to other people is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion. There is something I do want to mention because I brought it up. If you do choose to do a trade or bartering type of agreement with someone, These can be a little tricky, so I would make sure that you're establishing really good boundaries. If you're doing a dollar-for-dollar trade, such as you're going to teach the person private yoga classes and they are going to design your website, really understand what you're getting into ahead of time. So if a web designer charges $10,000 and you're doing a dollar-for-dollar trade, but your yoga classes, your private yoga classes are only $75, you're going to be teaching that person until you die. So make sure that you actually work out an arrangement with whomever you are working with so that it's fair to both of you. You keep track of it on paper somewhere. I usually have an Excel sheet with my, or a Google document with anyone I'm trading with. And each time they come to see me or I go to see them, whatever our service is, we just check it off. So we always know where we're at any given moment. Really knowing who you work with during bartering agreements is very important. Sometimes I have been in bartering situations with people that I sort of wish I had just paid them for their service and not gotten into that agreement. So there, I've had great experiences, I've had not so great experiences. And at the end of the day, I would say that your time is very valuable. If you can afford to pay for something, you know, whoever you're working with, whatever professional you're working with, their time and experience is valuable too. So as much as possible, I actually try to pay for things. I try to not get involved in too many trades unless they're for similar services. So I do a lot of trades with other yoga teachers. You know, I'll trade them a private class for an hour. They teach me a private class for an hour. It's a similar output of energy. We both love it. And it's a lot different than getting someone to design a website or build a program for you. In terms of services that you do pay for, there are also just so many great programs and systems to help you organize your world. So if you're not at a point where hiring a virtual assistant or a personal assistant is really something that is necessary for you, you can implement some of the great tools that will help to save you time. So last week, Steve mentioned the program Hootsuite, which helps to build scheduled social media posts. This is a huge time saver for many people. So if you don't like social media, if you're not social media savvy, spending an hour once a week setting up all of your different upcoming posts for the week is going to be an hour well spent. And there are so many different great services. I'm actually going to put together a list of some different things to send all of you out in an email. Next, I want to speak a little bit about people who support your growth. People who support your growth in your yoga business or in your life. You know, we know our friends and our families support us, or at least we hope that they do. We know our students support us and want us to continue teaching great classes and improving. But within the yoga community itself, I think it's really important to align yourself with a group of teachers who you trust, who you respect, who you can call on to substitute your classes, and who may have a teaching style that's similar to yours. In an ideal situation, you work with a group of maybe three or four other teachers in your area, or you get together virtually, and you meet. Maybe you meet once a month, maybe you meet every few weeks. And in this time, you can take each other's classes, you can talk about different things that you're working with in your class, new tricks and tips that you've learned at workshops. And you really get into a space of sharing with one another all of the ups and downs of the yoga world. Now, our friends and family who are not connected to yoga as their profession are going to probably have a hard time understanding when we come home after a quote-unquote bad day at work. I can't tell you the number of times that I've had people say, well, you can't be stressed out, you teach yoga. Like, all you do is roll around on the floor, you light candles, you sing in Shavasana, and, you know, that's your life. As sometimes it's a good reality check to remember that teaching yoga is a fantastic profession. It's full of love. It's really wonderful. But they don't understand all of the ins and outs. Sometimes there's politics within different yoga schools. Sometimes there are students that are really difficult to manage. Sometimes our class numbers get low and we feel our self-confidence drop. So it's really important to have people who are on the same page as you who can understand and work with you during those times. One thing I often do in my teacher trainings is I have some kind of a creative feedback session. So I will get one teacher to teach for about 20 minutes. And then we'll sit around and we'll talk about things that we personally liked, things that we felt, you know, could use improvement. And it's really nice for the teacher because they get a lot of love for the work that they are doing, for the ways that they've improved. And they get some ideas about maybe habits or things that they're saying that don't really connect. And if you're going to do something like this, it's really very important that you set these types of ground rules because, you know, feedback sessions can often be very unconstructive. They can be very critical, depending on the setting and the group of people you're working with. So I would say doing this with your peers, with people who've been teaching for around the same time as you, and people who are very loving in their critique. You are putting yourself in a vulnerable position, and you need that to be honored. Diversity is, of course, really important, so you may want to have teachers who do different things, but I can honestly say that for me, as a yin-yang or vinyasa teacher, if I were doing this kind of a feedback session with people who tend to be more of a gentle hatha type student or teacher, the feedback that I get from them is probably not going to be very helpful. And in fact, I've been told, you know, oh, that vinyasa was too much, it was too hard, by those kinds of teachers. Whereas the vinyasa teachers might say, yeah, I really like that you amp that up. So I do think that it's important to work with as many different teachers as you can, but keep in mind that when you're getting feedback about a particular style, you want to get that feedback from people who know about that style. An Ashtanga teacher getting feedback from an Iyengar teacher might not always translate because they are going to have very different ways of going about their practice. In a bigger sense, if you can expand your circle to work with people who have different styles, it can be a beautiful sharing experience. So I wouldn't deter you completely from opening it up to other people because you will learn a ton. But when you're doing feedback sessions about a particular form, it's usually more helpful to work with people who are very familiar with that particular form. Supporting your growth also means taking time to do things like workshops, to take as many different classes as you can. I've always found that having both a collective of peers is very important to my own growth, but also in conjunction with a mentor. So I continually work with people who have more experience than I do. And this isn't always in the yoga world. I live in a place where I actually have more years under my belt than a lot of other teachers. So there are very few teachers in my area who teach a similar form as I do that have about the same amount of teaching experience. However, working with mentors on a spiritual level, on a business level, has been exceedingly valuable. Things my mentor has said to me about not diminishing the thing I'm sharing with other people has completely transformed my teaching. I think I told this story a few weeks ago, but my mentor was in town visiting and he saw me interacting with students after class. And he saw them coming up to me and saying, "Thank you so much. Thank you for the class. You know, we loved it." And he saw me being really shy and very small and almost apologetic in my response to them. And his feedback for me was that by not really accepting their thanks and their gratitude, I was diminishing their experience. Because for some reason, my false humility or my discomfort with being thanked for a yoga class, it was reducing the powerful experience that my students were actually having. And that got to me in a way that transformed me. You know, on some level, I sort of knew that that was already happening, but because he had more experience working with people, he just spotted it right away. He articulated it beautifully, and it's something I don't think I would have been aware of without his very direct feedback. We'll talk about that more in a little while. But all of these different things that help support our growth as teachers feed into the overall picture of staying connected to what matters. So I firmly believe that the more tasks that you do not enjoy doing that you can actually offload to other people who are happier to do them than you are, the more you can work with your dream team of teachers to build a community in your life that you can be proud of. And ultimately, this comes back to staying connected to what matters. Remembering that underneath all of the business stuff, all of the marketing, all of the hard work, the good days, the bad days, what really matters to you is that you found a practice that you loved so much that you wanted to share it with the world. This is just a beautiful intention. And everything we've been doing in this course up until now is designed to help point you in that direction and keep that intention very clear. I also want to give you some practical tools tonight, other than the ones I've already mentioned, to help you actually stay connected to what matters, which in huge part is your students. So traditionally, the way that most yoga teachers connect with their students, other than one-to-one time in class, is the newsletter. I hate newsletters. I used to send them all the time, And it took me quite a while to pry my fingers off of those newsletter type programs. Now, it may be valuable for some studios to periodically send out a newsletter naming their upcoming events and all of that, because they just have so much. But the problem is that most students don't actually read them. They may open the email to scroll through and see if there's anything interesting, but being bombarded by 10 different workshops is not usually the way to fill your workshop. So for the freelance yoga teacher, as much as we do want to always let people know about what we're doing and what we're teaching, what I've personally found to be much more effective is emailing one thing, that one event that's most important, to the people who are actually interested in that type of event. For example, I have a list of people who've done a meditation workshop with me, and I have a list of people that do private yoga classes with me, and I have a list of people who have done my yoga workshops or teacher trainings. And let's say I have a meditation workshop coming up. I have a training for teachers coming up like this one. And I have a high power vinyasa flow class coming up at a CrossFit gym. Rather than sending out a newsletter with all three events to all three of these groups, I'll try to send only the things that I think the meditation group would be interested in to the meditation group. So I won't send them something about my teacher training that's only for current yoga teachers, because there probably aren't a lot of people in my meditation class who are also yoga teachers. And if there are, then they're on my other list. This is so important. The more you, for lack of a better word, just spam your entire list with everything that you're doing all of the time, the less effective things actually will be. On that same topic, it's also important that everything that you send out provides value. So rather than just saying, upcoming event, meditation workshop, what are you telling your students? Are you telling them what meditation has done for you? Are you telling them the benefits of meditation? Are you giving them an interesting story to read? One of the emails for this course in particular that I sent out only to yoga teachers was the two common stumbling blocks that yoga teachers face. So rather than just saying, hey, yoga teachers, take my course, I sent out a really specific email that yoga teachers could relate to and might be able to find value in. Value doesn't always mean that you have to give away some kind of a product. Value could just be some really great advice, something to work with. Some short sequence, perhaps. You can get really creative with this, but it's really important that you're sending out things with value. You want as many people as possible to feel happy that they opened your email. Whether they do the course or the class or not, they want to feel like you've reached out to them, and that hopefully they've learned something or gained something. Different mailing programs have ways where you can build lists. So I think there's a free service called MailChimp that a lot of people use. There is a way you can build different lists, so you can categorize your students into different areas. And if you take nothing else away from tonight in terms of advertising and promotion, this is a huge deal. Building different emails for your different lists really works. It's really helpful. It takes a little bit more effort, but not much. And you should get into the habit of collecting emails from your free talks, from your classes. If you don't have a way of collecting emails on your website, you should definitely build one. We talked so much about social media last week, but it's another great way of staying connected with your students. And you can certainly set up a fan page rather than a personal page so that you can still share private things with your private friends and family. But being able to find you, find your schedule, find out what you're up to via social media is, I actually think it's more important than having a website. So websites are great, but social media is instantaneous. You can do it now. And if you don't have that going on from our challenge last week, I really encourage you to do it. In speaking about staying connected, one other subject I wanted to make sure that I touched upon tonight was actually managing interpersonal relationships and tense situations. We all know that there are difficult conversations sometimes within our yoga world that need to happen. I get asked for advice a lot about how to deal with mistrust amongst yoga teachers, professionalism among studios and teachers. And this stuff is really tricky. I think a big part of why this can be so challenging for all of us, and it definitely is all of us, is that because in the yoga world, as teachers, we have different boundaries around our job. Our jobs are so centered around the heart. We're sharing something that we desperately love, and most of us feel very protective of that. So we're mixing something that is very tender and quite vulnerable and throwing it into a business world. It's really hard for studios to fire teachers if they're not performing. Probably much harder than it would be to fire a salesperson at a major company if they weren't performing. So I think this can lead to a lot of backroom conversations, gossip, mistrust, and some of the darker things that lurk when we start to involve a lot of different interpersonal relationships. Many of us have gone through periods of time where we felt competitiveness, or we felt like we were being given the cold shoulder. So one of the resources that I wanted to share was actually a book that Steve had recommended called Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When the Stakes Are High. And as he was telling me, this book is essentially about how to talk through things when you're feeling emotionally triggered or when your livelihood is involved, because sometimes things come up where you actually do have to say something and you want to do that in as professional a manner as possible. What I unfortunately find a lot of teachers do is they talk about it amongst themselves and they don't address the issue with the person that they actually need to address the issue with. So if you have ever found yourself, we all probably have, talking to someone else about a situation that isn't the person you actually need to speak to, even if your intentions are pure, you're starting to add drama to a situation. And as we all know, drama adds karma. So I would definitely recommend that everybody starts to get okay with being uncomfortable, get okay with having tense conversations, understand that not every single person that teaches yoga, runs a yoga studio, leads a workshop is actually a great business person or even a great communicator. Someone may be really good at communicating things during their classes, but may not know how to talk through a difficult situation. Being able to talk through difficult situations within your professional network is very important. It also helps you to set boundaries for yourself. If you know what your boundaries are around money, around responsibility from teaching, around your relationship with students, not only will you be able to relax, but everyone around you will be able to relax too. The way that works, of course, as you all know, is that you're not leaving loose ends everywhere. You actually become a consistent, reliable person because you and everyone else around you knows where the line is. My students don't ask me out because they know I won't date them. The studios I work for won't ask me to teach for free because they know that I don't believe that that's okay. Other teachers don't speak badly about one another to me because they know that I won't engage with it. Being a consistent person means other people know where you're at, and so do you. And it just cuts the drama in half. If people know that you're a reasonable person that will deal with things in a mature and professional way, there's really nothing that's off the table to discuss. You can have difficult conversations, tense conversations, negotiations with whoever you're working with, simply because the other person knows you're not going to fly off the rails, and you know that they won't either because you respect each other. Respecting yourself and respecting other people is really the heart of being connected. If you know that respect is one of the most important things, it allows you to trust what's going on. It allows you to trust in the other person. So I would encourage this for all of you to be a deeper contemplation about how trustworthy, how respectful you actually are, and the way in which you conduct yourself with other people. Remember that you are an ambassador for the yoga world. I always tell my students this who are going through my teacher training, but you may be the most spiritual person that your students ever encounter. So make that experience as positive as possible. And make sure that you are actually conducting yourself through your life with all of the yogic qualities that you personally believe in. I would be appalled if I went to see a yoga teacher that I respected and adored, and then I walked out of the studio and they were standing there with a cigarette in their mouth. I would just be mortified. Their personal choice about what they want to do with their life is one thing, but to me, it would probably negate all of the health and well-being that they were discussing at that yoga class. So I'm definitely not suggesting that we should put teachers on pedestals or that we ourselves should be put on a pedestal. But just considering your choices and considering your words, especially when you're in the yoga environment, is so important. Like, let that space, let your studio space, let your classroom space be sacred, and bring your best self to the table. That's how you get connected. I wanted to come back to one more thing. I spoke about one-on-one mentorship. It's a practice that has done wonders for me in my life. Courses like this definitely scratch the surface of that. But I wanted to know that in working with all of you, it's actually inspired me to put together a 3-month one-on-one mentorship program, especially for yoga teachers. I'm really excited about this. The one-on-one mentorship with me is going to be a month of working on your marketing and promotion, a month of upgrading your teaching, and a month of extreme personal growth. So each month we will have 2 45-minute calls together. That's just you and me. And you will also have daily email access to me. So you can email me with any question about anything that you want, as often as you want. I'm also going to give you weekly exercises and contemplations to help you work some of these things out. And for certain things, there will also be how-to audios. This will just help you along the way, and you can keep them forever. This will be especially important in the marketing and promotion month, where I'll take you through some of the different systems that I've used successfully to fill my classes and fill my workshops. We'll go through more social media work in depth. We'll talk in depth about blogging and how to write those upcoming event emails in a way that's actually interesting and provides value to your clients. In month 2, we'll talk about upgrading your teaching. So having the marketing and the promotion is wonderful, but you need to be a great teacher. In this month, I will actually be working with you on different facets of your teaching. I'll get you to record yourself teaching a yoga class and go through and just give you some helpful, creative, constructive feedback. And that feedback will not only make you feel great, but it will give you useful things that you can turn around and use in your class the next day. Month 3 is going to be about extreme personal growth. We're going to work on optimizing your sleep, your nutrition, getting into self-care routines. And this month will be very transformative. It's a real passion of mine to get to work with people on some of the more overlooked things like exercise, nutrition, sleep. And it's a real passion of mine to help people grow. So if this is something that you're interested in, it's going to be well worth the time and the effort for all of you. And I'm really excited to see where we can go.